This is the Schnitt Show.
Well, well, it appears the feasting on the carcass has begun. How you doing? It is, I almost said good morning because I normally do mornings in North Carolina. My name is Casey O'Day. I'm in for Todd Schnitt, obviously, and I'll be here all week. So that is either good news or really bad news, depending on how you're feeling. We mentioned the John Gruden story earlier, so now we have the people who worked with John Gruden who are going to come out and tell you what they always thought but were never told you. Keyshawn Johnson apparently is first on the train here. Johnson, the former wide receiver for Tampa Bay. I can't remember where else he all played, but that was when he would have been with Gruden. Referred to Gruden, quote, as always having been a fraud. Yes, the former NFL wide receiver went off about his former coach after Gruden resigned as head coach of the Raiders in the wake of his email controversy. Quote, he's always been a fraud to me from day one. He's been a used car salesman and people bought it, Keyshawn said on his ESPN radio show. Johnson played for Gruden in 2002 and 2003 as a member of the Buccaneers. The Super Bowl they won together was in 2002. Following Gruden's succession of former Bucs coach Tony Dungy. While Johnson says he's grateful for Gruden's push to help the team win a Super Bowl, he said, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship. Really? Then why'd you never say anything? Dude, you have a radio show now. And I'm serious about this. You have a radio show, and if I was your employer and you had a radio show and you had these opinions where you were... You know, I'm paying you to dish, man. I'm paying you to dish, not sit there and protect the friends. Sorry, I'm not necessarily mad at Keyshawn Johnson, but from a radio perspective, if I was his program director, and it's good that there's somebody in a position who can speak first person about the John Gruden story, I guess my question would be is, where you been, man? You have a radio show. It's not just where Johnson was doing some of the hosting for, you know, the ESPN pregame. I get that. They're not – the likelihood that they're going to start naming names from a football perspective is a little different. But when you get over to the radio side, that's a different animal entirely. And the expectation is you're going to go in there, and if you got a thought and you got experience or you got a story, people want to hear it. There's very few things you can be guarded about on the radio. You have to be ready to share life experiences. So you do it in a way where you're not harming innocent people, but I did a lot of stupid stuff, and thank you, that armed me well. And I think a lot of people are the same way. Man, I look back on the ways in which, as a young man, my friends and I used to attempt to entertain ourselves in Wyoming, which is not easy. And, I mean... Like one, I'll give you this. One, do you know what a wilderness designation is as far as it works in certain states? So a wilderness designation is not a national forest thing. So a wilderness area is, and this is in a few states like this, a wilderness area is considered so rugged and so far away from everything else that in many cases, at least this is how it worked in Wyoming at the time, if you don't live in the state of Wyoming and you don't have a guide with you, you're forbidden from entering it. And it's because it is so rugged. It is so untouched. It is so out there, and it is so difficult to rescue you if you become imperiled. Not to mention the pitfalls of, there's not really roads per se back there. There's maybe logging trails, maybe, or animal trails mostly. But I remember you get your license at 14 in Wyoming. I think we were 14, 15, man, and we're like, hey, let's drive from one end of the wilderness area to the other in this old Willie's Jeep my buddy has. And we broke down. We broke down. And it's just, you know, stupid stuff like that where there's no reason for that story, but the point is you got to share this stuff. You got to share your life experiences, the people you've interacted with. The time I was at the RNC and I turn around and Bob Dole is literally breathing on the back of my neck Joe Biden does to small children. And my first thought was, oh yeah, he's still alive. I know it's bad. I'm sorry. But like, I love those things. And as a radio guy, you're expected to share those things. I'm sure Schnitt's got a bunch of stories for you longtime listeners you're sick of hearing about. But that's part of the deal. And if Keyshawn Johnson had some insight into the monster that is apparently John Gruden, what are you doing sitting on that, man? That would be my question here. So, all right, look at this. Oh, Tony Dungy did weigh in. All right, hold on. Sue just sent this to me. Sorry, I took the Apple update, and now if you have Apple and you're on your internet browser on Safari, for some reason they've decided that the address bar needs to be at the bottom because they hate you. Ugh. All right, here we go. Former Indianapolis coach Tony Dungy. Why would you just call him former Indy coach? Oh, whatever. Tony Dungy, clarifying comments he made about John Gruden on Sunday Night Football. Gruden, who resigned as Las Vegas Raiders coach on Monday, used racist, homophobic, and misogynistic language in a series of emails over a seven-year period. On the Sunday football telecast, Dungy said he thought it was time to accept Gruden's apology and move on. What John Gruden did in that email, definitely insensitive, definitely inappropriate, definitely immature. I thought he attacked the character of a man, Dungy said Sunday, but he apologized for it. He said it wasn't racially motivated. I have to believe him. I think this was an incident that was 10 years ago. He apologized, and I think we need to accept the apology and move on. Dungy tweeted this morning saying that his comments Sunday night were based on the assumption that Gruden's comments were an isolated incident. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's the bus. Enjoy. Here's what he actually tweeted on SNS, Sunday Night Football. I commented on an email sent by John Gruden. I did not defend it. I said inappropriate, immature attack on a man's character is wrong. I did not attribute it at all to racism and said given a single incident 10 years ago, we should accept this apology and move on. Now that more emails have come, more inappropriate, immature, wrongful attacks on the character of people from all walks of life, I don't defend those either, and given the apparent pattern of behavior, the Raiders did the appropriate thing in terminating John Gruden. That being said, if John Gruden shows true remorse and, more importantly, changes his mindset and actions, I would forgive him. You know, Tony Dungy is all about forgiveness. He's a big Christian. Here we go. As Christians, that's what the Bible commands us to do because that's what God does for us. I know it's not popular, but it's biblical. And then he put a screenshot of some Bible verses there. Okay. All right. You know, I got to admit, that's kind of what I expect from Tony Dungy. It's, you know, the part of Tony Dungy that is Christian is definitely something that has been at the forefront on several issues that have been, I like Tony Dungy immensely, but that's exactly how I think you walk that line. And again, I readily admit that when you're looking at the total, if it was just him calling Goodell another word for a cat, then whatever. But you're not going to survive that other stuff, even if it was 10 years ago. How do I know? Let's go to the Eric Clapton story. So Rolling Stone magazine has decided that Eric Clapton needs canceled. Why? Well, maybe you don't know this about Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton has issued several statements and given a couple interviews that have been decidedly, we'll say, have been decidedly against the way the government has acted surrounding both COVID-19 and specifically vaccines. The thing that caught, I think, the ire of the Rolling Stone reporter, which Rolling Stone is as left a rag as Daily Beast or anything you can think of. And if you still think it's about music and just pure music, then divorce yourself of that notion. That is not Rolling Stone now. You know, they do this. They had that whole scandal with the rape allegations. What was that, University of Virginia? It was one of the universities up in Virginia where Rolling Stone reporter wrote that whole piece and didn't even bother to talk to any of the people they were accusing. And it was so easily disprovable, the claims that she was making. Well, the amount of egg on that face. Don't even get me started on Duke lacrosse going back in the day, which is somebody who broadcasts literally out of the Raleigh-Durham area and the Greensboro-Winston-Salem area. That's still something we talk about. So this is what you expect. So what did Eric Clapton say that drew the ire? Eric Clapton, among other things, said he would cancel any show if the venue required attendees to prove they were vaccinated against COVID-19. Oh, yeah. So here we go. Rolling Stone special report. Inside Eric Clapton's baffling vaccine skepticism and shocking history of racist statements. Let me be very clear here if you want to start where they started. Let's talk about vaccine skepticism. So Clapton has detailed what he referred to, and we know that it literally stopped some of his touring, a disastrous experience after receiving two AstraZeneca shots. So he went and got vaccinated. He listened to the experts. He did the thing. And look, the vast majority of people who took AstraZeneca didn't have these side effects. But some people did, and Eric Clapton did. And it was, to say disastrous, it was a very nasty experience when he expounds upon it. So, yeah, he's probably going to have, I don't know, he's going to have some thoughts. What other high crimes has he committed? Well, according to Rolling Stone, Clapton also recently gave money and offered his transporter van to Jam for Freedom. That's a group of UK musicians that are spreading an anti-lockdown message, including a song that went viral. It's called You Can Stick Your Poison Vaccine Up Your... And then there's another word there. Although they use the ARSE version because, you know, they're British, so... All right, let's get into where Clapton is super racist. So Rolling Stone literally had to go back to 1976. At a concert in 1976, Clapton shocked the crowd with statements he later admitted were, quote, full tilt. He talked about how the influx of immigrants would result in the UK being a colony within 10 years. Okay. He said that in 1976. You think, in the almost 50 years since he said that, do you think that perhaps there's been any evolution there? Because it seems like you're digging, man. Here's what most people know about Eric Clapton passively. They like his songs. They might remember the Cream era. What was it before? Yardbirds before? And they probably remember that he wrote an amazing song entitled Tears from Heaven following his child falling off of a balcony to his death. That's probably where, maybe cocaine, but that's probably where most people, and I shot the sheriff, but right there, that's probably where most people are from Eric Clapton. They didn't know that he has a shocking history of, I'm sorry, what was it? Oh, Layla, yes. How dare I? Yes. But the point being, that's what they know. They don't know him as this shocking history of racial this and racial that. You know why? Because none of these garbage outlets covered any of that. They might have covered the 76 thing because there was a little bit of pushback there. But ultimately, they just don't cover this. He's never been on their radar. So you have to ask yourself, why all of a sudden is Eric Clapton a literal music god in the grand scheme of things? Why is he the object of ire for a full undercover hit piece? This is the magazine that wouldn't even write about how one of the popular current artists readily admitted that she liked to drug men to rob them. People get a lot of passes on stuff. Eric Clapton, with a shocking history of racism that you all have never reported on or talked about. So what else did Clapton do? You ready for this? Clapton was praised by Michael Knowles. And if you don't know who Michael Knowles is, Michael Knowles is a writer and a radio host. And Michael Knowles, his high crime was one time he filled in for Rush Limbaugh. So Eric Clapton was praised by somebody, unbeknownst to him largely. I suspect Eric Clapton had no idea who Michael Knowles was, or at the very least, that he was being praised. So one of the high crimes is that somebody had an opinion about something that Eric Clapton said, and that same somebody once filled in on the Rush Limbaugh show. Dun, dun, dun. Really? That's a problem? Clapton then risked his reputation as he doubled down on his views. It's a shame that this is the way young Rolling Stones readers are going to read about him for the first time, said a former associate. He is one of the greats, and it's how he makes headlines. Because he got the vaccine, and it literally made him really, really sick, and he had horrible side effects, and he couldn't do the music stuff he was going to do, and he has an opinion on that? That's your problem? In the past, Clapton has been reluctant to voice his political views, as he told Rolling Stone in 1968. What I'm doing now is just my way of thinking. But if I get into a paper somewhere, people will say that what I'm saying is the way they ought to think, which is wrong because I'm only a musician. If they dig my music, that's great. They don't have to know what's going on in my head. And I would argue when talking about his experience with AstraZeneca, he is speaking in the first person. He's relaying his experience. But in recent months, Clapton has become a leading vaccine skeptic, part of a community that Dr. Anthony Fauci has said is part of the problem because you're allowing yourself to be a vehicle for the virus to be spreading to someone else. Here's the other thing. What do you think would happen if you... Oh, look at this clock. All right, let me just do this real quick. What do you think? What do you think your lifespan would be if you took all advice from musicians?
This is Schnitt.
All right, there is a little more to this whole Eric Clapton story. I'm going to give you that on the backside. And in music news, you remember Smash Mouth? Okay, well, lead singer's leaving. And it follows a rather chaotic incident. So we'll have that for you as we jam-pack the last half hour of Schnitt coming up. Stacey O'Day sitting in. See you back here in a few.
The Schnitt Show. Schnitt list is on
schnittshow.com.
All right, welcome to it. The backside of hour number three here on the Tuesday Schnitt Show. Casey O'Day sitting in for Todd. I'll be with you all week. Okay, now let me get back to this. I was just sharing with you this Eric Clapton story. So Rolling Stone magazine has decided they're just going to do straight up hit piece. You know, and ironically, they released it yesterday, which was the anniversary of the Boston bombing, and this is the same magazine that tried to make a sexy pose front cover of, I can't even remember how to pronounce one of the Boston bombers' names, or any of them, which is good, because screw those guys, but anyway, Zokar, the brother that didn't get murdered by police because, what is it? I call him something else on my show, and it's really offensive, and I don't know whether I want to bust it out on the Schnitt Show, so I was trying to be coy in that, but it's a pretty horrendous nickname. The point being is they thought that it was fine to do the Zokar sexy picture on the front, and so you know, take your credibility for what it's worth. All right, so here we go. In recent months, Clapton has himself become a leading vaccine skeptic, part of a community that Dr. Fauci said is part of the problem. Because you're allowing yourself to be a vehicle for the virus. And while never explicitly condemning the lockdown, he said live music might never recover and joined Van Morrison for three songs that amount to lockdown protest anthems. This is really funny because these guys are both products of the protest anthem era. Right? Rolling Stone is a product of the protest anthem era. Do we need to go into all of the protest anthems? There was a lot of them for a lot of different reasons. And it's not just old white dudes. You got, you know, Stranger Fruit. I mean, you have civil rights stuff. I mean, this was the era in which they all came to be. And now they're like, we can't have protest anthems. By way of a friend's social media account, he's also detailed what he called his disastrous experience after receiving two AstraZeneca shots. Clapton recently embarked on a U.S. tour booked in red states despite surging transmission numbers. Really? Hey, you want to hear a fun fact? Because I know Florida gets it in the teeth here. The state of Michigan not only has a lower percentage of people who are vaccinated, but they also had like 10,000 new cases yesterday. Yeah. So it's weird because, you know, you'd think that that would be something that you would cover because it would fit the guidelines of things you would freak out and cover. And, of course, we all remember all the insanity surrounding Gretchen and the governor there, Whitmer, and everything in Michigan where they're like, you can't buy seeds, peasant. No seeds for you. And no boats, except for my husband. He can take a boat over. But no boats for the rest of you. No seeds and no boats. The shows also at venues that largely don't require proof of vaccination. In the process, the 60s icon who embraced the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle as much as anyone in his generation has drawn praise from conservative pundits. In Austin, he posed for backstage photos with Governor Greg Abbott. Oh no, Texans anti-vax mandate governor. Here's the garbage here. He is not anti-vaccine. He's anti-vax mandate, so I appreciate you at least getting that right. But even throwing that in front, after all of the disastrous and dishonest representations of Greg Abbott, the guy not only was pro-vaccine, he got it. He televised himself getting it, and then when he got COVID, he praised the fact that he didn't have to worry that it was going to be as bad as it could have been. But again, along with the sex, drugs, rock and roll lifestyle, the 60s was bent on protest anthems, changing and you know, just being not part of the standard process, not falling in line with things. And now, the very same people who purport to be the evolution of that era are themselves spending ink and time demonizing anyone who doesn't fall into line for what the government wants. It's astounding, actually. They also wrote, Governor Greg Abbott, also known for his attacks on abortion and voting rights. Right, okay. The sight of Clapton and backstage photos with the notorious governor amounted to a deal killer for some. I just deleted all my Clapton songs, said one comment on Abbott's Twitter feed, along with, quote, a kid rock type with better guitar skills, done with him. I had nothing against kid rock, but stop it. Stop it. And Eric Clapton, oh, he's just kid rock with better guitar skills. Really? Do you really think that? This is where we find ourselves, though. Meanwhile, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, I guess the song you would most know would be All Star, right? I don't think they had a bigger hit than that, and I'm not singing. He went off. He's been dealing with some issues here. I met this guy one time when we were doing a show for our radio cluster, and he came. He was a super nice dude. All the guys were. They didn't take themselves too seriously, which I appreciated. But anyway, so back to this, the 54-year-old rocker he's gone through alcoholism, he's had some health issues and was getting back into it, but now says that he will retire from music to deal with physical and mental health. Quote, Steve has been dealing with long-term medical issues over the last 8 years, and during his last performance at the Big Sip stage, that was a festival up in, upstate New York. Where some video emerged from October 9th, the band performed, and Harold was slurring words and threatening audience members, giving them crude gestures. There was video that got posted. TikTok was, there was a ton of these videos. This is what the statement goes on to say, though. This unfortunate recording has now been taken out of context and his ailments used against him to paint him as someone who he isn't. Look, I don't know who he is now. Again, I remember the interaction, and it was a lengthy interaction. We sat around for probably like an hour and a half in this backstage area. Super nice guy, and did some radio. We did a little bit of radio, but mostly it was just John. And I don't know what transpired between then and now, but when you're on the stage threatening to kill the family members of people who are taunting you in the audience, I don't know that you're necessarily taking that out of context. Harwell was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy 8 years ago, suffered from heart failure, an acute word I will not ever pronounce. So whatever that is. The latter condition has greatly impacted his motor functions, including speech, and impaired his memory. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, that's as somebody I can't imagine. I can't imagine losing my voice. Right? That's what I got. That's my thing. And so for his ability to either play an instrument or to sing, losing that, that would be horrible. I heard a story one time from, there's a stagehands union, and generally that stagehand union is the one that does concerts. And actually, I was a casual for them when I was in college. So I'd go work at the bowl, set up, you know, you're pushing boxes, unloading guitars, all that. It's kind of suck work, but it pays well, and you get to go to concerts and you're backstage, right? So, but also you'll get these gigs as part of it's IATSE is the union's name. And so you get gigs that are not your traditional concert. Like we did a wedding one time for a billionaire who had a circus tent, dyed pastel, and put on a ranch that he bought to marry another billionaire or 100 millionaire woman. And they had REO Speedwagon, Journey, and Rod Stewart play their wedding. So part of the gig was doing that. But there was a guy who was our shop steward. And this was in Southern California at the time. And they had done a gig at Julie Andrews' house. She had a big spread there in the San Ynez Valley. And he said that Julie Andrews was one of the most bitter people he had ever dealt with. And largely, as I was like, that's weird. Because I remember when I was growing up, man, my mom would be like, there's the Sound of Music and all this. She's a big fan. And it I understood it once I actually kind of looked into it, where essentially she had lost her ability to sing. So, you know, emotionally, that's got to change you. Whether you're the guy from Smash Mouth, you're the big mouth on the radio, or you're Julie Andrews, who's timeless. It's got to crush your ability to do that. And I wish him the best there. And he better watch out and not say anything about the vaccines, or Rolling Stone will do a takedown. So that would be unfortunate for him. All right, one segment left. We will jam-pack what we haven't got to. We'll do it next. It is the Schnitt Show. Hang on.
This is the Schnitt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
All right, look, I try to be on my best behavior when I am blessed with the opportunity to fill in here on the Schnitt Show, but I can't. It would be an impossibility to pass this story up. All right, the testicle bath could be the future of male contraception. Do tell me more. Let's explore this together. German designer Rebecca Weiss has picked up a prestigious James Dyson Award. I'm assuming that's the vacuum dude, for creating a gadget that is a potential revolutionary male contraception. The device, known as COSO, is a small mug-sized device. Oh, wait till you hear how this works. All right. So to use it, the man will fill it up with water. Turn it on, let it get up to operating temperature. I don't know exactly what operating temperature is. I hope it's somewhere, you know, around body temperature. I don't want that thing too toasty. And then would gently rest you've heard the term twigs and berries. This would be the berries. So you're going to put the berries in there. And once they're safely dipped in the water, they're zapped with ultrasonic waves that will stop sperm production and provide contraception for roughly 2 weeks following the first dunking. The effect is reversible, and after even multiple uses, about 6 months later, following a six months after a man's last dip, his sperm production will turn to normal, and then, you know, you can do whatever you're going to do. Oh, let's see. So how did this come about? Oh, Weiss explains that about a year ago, she was diagnosed with cancer precursor cervix. blamed it on the contraception with the pill. After that, her and her partner were looking for an alternative method. We became aware of the lack of male contraceptives. So wait a sec. So her guy was the test rat for this? How did that work out? I mean, let's face it. I don't know anything about her. She obviously is pretty smart. She's able to put all this together. She won some awards. And it's undeniable that it probably works. I mean, good luck with dudes going, yeah, zap. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah, could you zap them with waves? That would be great. And even though you're listening, some may find that selfish because you're saying, well, wait, you expect her to take hormone-changing pills? I get it. I'm just telling you the reaction some guys are going to have. But who I really feel bad for is her partner here. Because she's now, while she's going mad scientist there in the garage or the workshop, eventually she's going to walk out with a contraption and then have to explain what I just explained to you to him. So what I've created is I've created this thing, and you're going to put that in there, and then we're going to heat the water, and we hope that the temperature gauge works. And then when that's done, we're going to hit it with a bunch of sound waves. So take your pants off. He must love the hell out of her. She goes on to say, so I decided to deal with the development of a new contraceptive approach for men in my master thesis in industrial design at the Technical University in Munich. At the moment, Weiss has developed a functional prototype to test out the technical feasibility, and her aim is to bring a more mainstream prototype that will then be used for clinical trials. Sure. Yeah, let me know how that goes. Sure, everyone's just lining up for that. You know, it's funny because up in North Carolina where I broadcast, we have we have the University of North Carolina, we have Duke University, we have NC State, we have Wake Forest University. We have all of these in my broadcast area, so there's always a ton of clinical, and we have a ton of pharmaceutical companies in what's known as the Research Triangle. And so we run a lot of radio ads, actually, where they're looking for people for various studies. You know, we're testing a new insulin delivery system, right? And they pay, and, you know, they buy ads, and then people go in and they're compensated, and it's a pretty regular thing. Some of the commercials are creepier than others, so my producer and I will make jokes off the air, but I'd love to hear the commercial for this thing. Yeah. Come in and sign up for the new testicle bath research study. You'll be compensated for your time and travel is what they always say there, so. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Oh, and what is this? Chick-fil-A getting sued. What are they getting sued for? Do I got time for this? I do have time for this. Ha, funny. Chick-fil-A is being sued by customers over delivery price hikes. Chick-fil-A accused of charging people more for items ordered for delivery despite promising low fees. The lawsuit, which will be thrown out, claims Chick-fil-A offers a low delivery fee but then charges more for food than if it were bought for pickup or in person. This is true. I've noticed this, as you probably have too, that if you ever look, let's say you ordered on Grubhub or Uber Eats or DoorDash, there are times when the price of the items that you're ordering are different than what you would have normally paid sitting in that restaurant. And, you know, but it's not like they don't disclose the price to you. And so what if they're offering a low delivery fee? I've seen the reverse of this. Anybody use Airbnb? All right. One of the things that irritates me to the 10th power about Airbnb, and I love Airbnbs, is, and this is what you have to pay attention. Sometimes I'll see a place and it has a low nightly rate. And you're like, wow, I get to stay in the area where I wanted to stay. The place looks nice. Everybody else is $100 a night. This one's 80. Yeah, I'm going to book that. And then what will happen is they have a very high cleaning fee. I mean, there was one I looked at that was a significant reduction, but their cleaning fee was like $170, and it was like a two-bedroom condo. And obviously, it's what they're doing is the person marketing that has figured out that they'll get more interest with a lower price. The pictures look nice, and by the way, the unit was nice, and here's why it made sense for me. I then did the math because I was staying there for almost 10 days, and I extrapolated and figured out that that's fine. But if you're somebody who's doing a three-day weekend, you're now paying a whole lot more, which is why I would tell the people filing the lawsuit, learn to read. Do a little math. It's fine. So, yeah. I think people just like suing Chick-fil-A. whatever. The fast food chain has not publicly responded to the suit. And it's New York. They're suing them in New York City, so they may be able to find a jury that'll give them money. But we'll have to end it there for today. I'll see you back here tomorrow. It is the Schnitt Show. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
The Schnitt Show.